to People Like Us, a podcast for and about third culture kids everywhere. I'm Jen Mohindra. I'm also a TCK, and I have a Facebook group for TCK adults called, unsurprisingly, People Like Us. Hello, and on today's episode of People Like Us, I am delighted to be joined by Summer Nicole Payton. Summer, hello. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, it's my pleasure for sure. So, as always, I'm going to kick off with what you and many of our listeners will be very familiar with as being the first and the opening question, which is, would you like to tell me about where you grew up?
Yes. I grew up, well, I was born in Texas and then almost born in the Philippines, which is something that I still am miffed at my parents sometimes, that I wasn't born over there. But I was born in the States in Abilene, Texas. And then when I was about three, we moved to Davao City, Philippines. And then we lived there for about 5 years. Both my brothers, younger brothers, were born in Davao. Hence why I was a little miffed because they got to be born over there and I was not. And then after about 5 years of being there, we moved to Cebu City, Philippines. And then I lived there until I was 12. And then when I was 11, around Christmas time, I don't remember if it was sooner than that, but we got the information that so we were there as missionaries, but we got the information that our support was being dropped and we had to figure out something else or go back to the States. And in my view, as a 11, 12 year old, I was pretty angry about that because they were taking my home away from me. Mm. And I didn't really know all the ins and outs of all the extra information and reasons behind why we were leaving. I didn't understand all that at that time. Now I have a better kind of understanding, obviously, being older. But then we moved back to the States. We moved to Austin, Texas. And that's where I went to junior high and high school, graduated high school there. And then I went out to West Texas for my undergraduate at Lubbock Christian University. Not the funnest time of my life at all. And then after that, we moved down to the Houston area. And then I actually moved back to the Philippines as an adult for about 8 months, trying to kind of figure out, is this what I want to do? What's next? Where do I want to be in life? And I actually decided to come back to the States after that and pursue my master's in counseling. And so I just finished that in Corpus Christi, Texas. And I have my master's in counseling, an LPCA, currently working on my hours. And then I moved back to the Houston area this past January, and that's where I'm currently at this moment.
Right. That's a few moves in there, and sounds like a bit of a tricky one at the age of 11 or 12, moving away from, mm-hmm. as you said, your home and mm-hmm. to the US and not really quite understanding why that had to be.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like for you when you got to the US? Because, I mean, your first 3 years, we don't really remember much from that time. Mm-hmm. So it must have felt like going completely somewhere new.
It was. And it was really frustrating because both my parents are Americans, so I'm white. And therefore, everyone assumed that, oh, I should fit in here because this is my home, quote unquote. And everyone would be like, oh, welcome home. I'm sure you're so glad to be back. And I'm like, this isn't my home. Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but this is not my home. So it was really challenging. as a family, we really had a hard time, but we really never talked about it. Mm-hmm. My dad, and what the missions world calls it, is he went native. So he went like as Filipino as he possibly could without looking Filipino. He was immersed in the culture. He knew the language back and forth. Still to this day, he is very Filipino. And my mom went from kind of being around a little bit in the Philippines, because she would go out and help my dad and help with the churches and all of those things, to coming back to the States and her working a full-time job as a teacher. And as a lot of people know, here in the States, at least, teaching has a lot of expectations and not a lot of money for those expectations or leftover time after the mm-hmm. fact. So me and my brothers, we kind of had to fend for ourselves, especially when we came back, because my dad was deep into reverse culture shock. I was in very bad culture shock in general. Mm-hmm. And we were just in survival mode for many years, even though we didn't even realize it, because mm-hmm. we didn't even have the language to explain what was going on. So it was really tough. I went from kind of wearing my heart on my sleeve to being closed off and numb. Because I didn't really know how to process a lot of the emotions or things that were going on. But it was horrible. It was honestly horrible. And there's not really a better explanation. I thought I was doing a lot better than I was until I kind of realized later, oh, hey, this isn't okay. Different things like this probably shouldn't be happening. But so that was a really, really tough transition. And then on top of that, we came back to a school, which is where my mom got her job. That was a private Christian college prep school, which was a great education. But a lot of my classmates, a lot of my brother's classmates had been together since kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And obviously we were not there since kindergarten. So that was really challenging. And on top of all of that, I went into a grade that everyone, all the other teachers, any other kids that I met were like, oh, that's the toughest grade. Like, that has the worst kids. They ran their kindergarten teacher off on a Friday and she never came back. And so hearing all of those things, I was like, wow, I'm really being set up for failure. This is great. I don't want to be here. And now I'm going into a grade that everybody thinks is the worst possible grade ever.
That all sounds like quite a brutal experience. And one mm-hmm. that it sounds like you've, with time, you can look back and sort of really appreciate perhaps just how difficult it was and why. You mentioned mm-hmm. also that you had a not very fun time at university later on. What mm-hmm. what happened there?
So I went out to West Texas, which is a culture shock from Austin, Texas, first of all. West Texas, and actually Austin, Texas in general, is kind of a culture shock for most people in Texas. But then going from there to West Texas was really tough. And that, when I just went out to college, I was like, okay, I get to be the Filipino girl again. Like, I get to be the missionary kid. Everyone in high school and junior high had kind of gotten bored of my story. Like, they were like, oh, this is old news, like, she lived there a while ago. They're like, you've been here for a while now, so you should be adjusted, you're not the Filipino girl anymore, kind of thing. So I was really excited to get to go to a new place and kind of be a screamer. Have you heard of those different terms, like chameleon, screamer, and wallflower?
Chameleon and wallflower, yes. Screamer, no.
So when it comes to TCKs, this is very much a generalization, so it's not everyone by any means, but so we tend to chameleon or wallflower. So chameleon kind of shift with the people around us, kind of try to fit in
and then adapt.
And then wallflower, obviously we kind of take a step back, kind of observe, kind of just pay attention. And then screamer, it's like, hey, look at me. I grew up in the Philippines. Hey, everybody, I want you to know, look at my clothes, look at how I dress, look at how I talk. I grew up there. Everybody needs to know this. So that's very much how I was at first, when I went to college, very much extroverted. I wanted everyone to know I was the missionary kid. And again, my story kind of got old fast for other people. And I kind of started thinking, well, should it be an old story? Just because I got told by so many people, like, oh, actually, I remember this distinctly. One of my colleagues, people that I met in school, I wouldn't necessarily consider it like a close friend by any means. But I remember him and I talking one day, and he said that his dad or grandpa had grown up somewhere. I don't remember where, probably it was Central or South America. And he said something along the lines of, well, my grandpa lived there under the age of 12 and he doesn't really count it. So your story, it doesn't really count since you only lived there till you were 12. And that broke my heart, because I was like, one, who are you to tell me? Like, you've lived in Lubbock, Texas all your life. But then on top of that, I started wondering, well, does it count? Does my story count? So that was pretty hard. And then it was after my freshman year of college that I actually got to learn about being a TCK. One of my friends that I'd grown up with knowing all my life in the Philippines, she had actually tried to get me to go to this camp before my freshman year of college. But the way that she explained it, she didn't explain it very well, and she did not explain what a TCK was. She essentially was like, hey, you should come to this camp in Oklahoma. We get to go swimming and wear shorts. And I thought, why am I going to go to Oklahoma to go swimming and wear shorts? Like, I don't care. And then she sent me the book by Ruth Van Reken and Michael E. Pollack and all of them. And I was like, I'm not reading this book. Like, this is dumb. And on top of that, I thought, no, I'm fine. Like, I don't need this. I don't need any of this information. I don't want to deal with it. Especially when I was about to go to college, I just wasn't having it. And then I'd had the book for almost a year, and I finally read through some of it. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading the story about the girl that she tells and how she grew up in Singapore and in different places and how she felt. And I think I almost dropped the book, because I was like, I feel like you're reading my soul and my story. And I was like, okay, I have to go to this camp. And so
you're ready for those shorts.
Yes, I was ready for those shorts, and I was ready for swimming. And so I went to the camp, and it was at Oklahoma Christian. So I knew nothing about Oklahoma or Oklahoma Christian, but I was just like, well, my ate says I needs to go, so I'm going to go. And I remember after the first day of camp, I don't even remember what we talked about at all. I think it was an overview of education as far as what a TCK is and kind of getting to know each other. But I remember after the first day sitting on the bed that evening and thinking, huh, I'm not weird. And it's okay to think the things I think and feel the things I feel. And that was the first time I'd been told that. And I'd been back in the States for 7 years already.
Sounds life-changing.
Oh, it definitely was. It absolutely was. It was magical. And then we got to kind of process more and deal with some things. And I realized that I was not as okay as I thought I was. Mm-hmm. I realized that I'd kind of put everything in a big old pot and closed the lid up, but I hadn't dealt with anything in the pot. I just put it in the pot and hid it away. And at camp, everything came out and there was no putting the lid back on that pot. So then I had to go back to college, back to West Texas, where I felt even more alone than I had before, because I felt like I'd finally found my community and people who understood me. And then I had to leave. And I went into a downward spiral because I felt even more alone than I ever had before. I hated being in college. I hated being at that college specifically, and did not want to be there. So that was really, really challenging, kind of adjusting and moving forward and figuring out how to survive after finding my community and then having it ripped away from me, essentially.
And another series of goodbyes after already having had Philippines to the US and leaving behind that part of what was most of your life at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it does sound like you had quite a number of, as I said before, what I think are quite brutal experiences. But now mm-hmm. that, you know, you've moved on past school, past university, and it sounds like you've had some time to reflect and look back at the experiences that you had, how do you see that your upbringing and your experiences can be helpful?
So, as I kind of mentioned earlier, I went back to school. I have my master's in counseling. And as you said, a lot of these different situations have been pretty brutal. And I've been through a lot of different experiences. And I think growing up in the Philippines and then When I was in college, I was able to kind of travel. I went to Kenya twice. I went to Greece after I graduated, and just getting to work with people, because I went for mission trips, I guess you could call them, just working with different people and communities. And it was when I was in Greece working with refugees coming in from the Middle East that's when I really decided I wanted to be a counselor. Or a therapist. And I think the different life experiences that I've lived personally, and then what I've been able to witness and be part of, has equipped me, in ways that other people haven't been equipped. And, being able to use my skills, and my abilities to be a counselor and to help people who, are struggling. It's my goal to help people who are going through life and who are struggling, and so that they know that they're not alone, because I know I felt alone and I never want anybody else, if it's within my power, to feel that. And it's my goal eventually to work more specifically with TCKs and counsel TCKs, just because I have obviously such a huge passion for them, being one myself. But I think that's been a pretty big help. And, you know, I was actually talking to my dad last night and talking about how the different things I've been through in life, you know, if I can help one person with one little piece of my story, then all the pain and all the brutalness of it was worth it, because I've been able to help somebody. So yeah, that's probably my biggest thing of of being able to understand a lot more people than I probably would have otherwise.
And those early trips that you mentioned, going to Kenya, going to Greece, I'm guessing that you're trying to think how to say it, like a sense of adventure, or your willingness to go and try and explore new places must surely have been enhanced by your early experiences of having lived in different countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I feel more at home in travel and in communities and around people that look different than me, I guess you could say, because I am white. And so there is this automatic assumption that I should fit into America, or I should fit into those kinds of situations. But when I'm in travel and I'm learning about new people, new places, new cultures, that's where I feel most at peace and most, I guess, at home.
So I'm going to ask you then, where does feel like home for you?
That is a good question. I'm still kind of trying to figure that out. Actually, that camp that I was talking about, I've been going every year since, and now I help kind of run the camp for TCKs. But this year our theme was home, and that was a question that was asked for those of us who were kind of in charge and helping to run it. And they were like, where do you feel most at home? And for me, it's people in my life that I consider family, who make me feel at home. And I feel most at home and most comfortable around other TCKs. Mm-hmm. I'm able to be all parts of me, because I know, at least for me personally, whenever it comes to different people, I show different people different parts of my life depending on what they can quote unquote handle, what they're comfortable with, because I know our stories typically are a lot for a lot of people, especially if they haven't experienced it, and I recognize mm-hmm. that. And I can't hold that against them. Their lives are foreign to me if they've lived in one place all their life. I'm like, how do you do that? That's insane yeah. to me. So it's just different. It's not bad. It's just different. So I show different parts that different people are capable of handling. But TCKs, I'm able to be my whole and complete self. And so 1 week out of the year, I get to go to that camp and I get to feel whole. And it's a really lovely feeling, because I'm like, oh, I'm home. I'm with my family. So yeah, but I mean, there's other people that make me feel welcome and at home. It's just most of the time, it's usually with other TCKs.
That camp sounds like a wonderful place to sort of recharge the batteries and be mm-hmm. yourself for mm-hmm. a time. I noticed you mentioned, you know, when I asked about where feels like home for you, and you mentioned community and with people. Community is something that TCKs often look for, you know, people that mm-hmm. come to me for coaching, that they're sort of looking to find their community, because we have sort of been upped and moved sometimes mm-hmm. many times. How do you think your nomadic upbringing has helped you to navigate different communities?
Going back to like that chameleon side of things, I feel like I'm able to chameleon between different communities. And I mean, I still, now that I'm an adult, I'm able to kind of recognize that I am chameleoning. When I was younger, I obviously did not quite grasp that. And I never really knew where I truly fit in, because I was like, well, I fit in well with this group. Well, I fit in well with this group. Why is this a thing? When I was in high school, especially, I never had like one specific group that I was part of, because I just kind of was a social butterfly between all of them. And while they all were friendly with each other, I was able to actually fit in with each of them. And so, I don't know, I think growing up in the way I have as a TCK, it's given me the ability to go between groups and go between different people and be able to relate to the different groups on at least a little bit of level. Like I said, I'm not going to understand someone who's lived in one place all their life. But there are pieces of their story that I can understand, and I can relate to. And so just being able to understand those parts and to recognize that I have that capability while also still maintaining who I am.
What I'm hearing there is your ability to look for points of connection
mm-hmm.
with all sorts of different people. So people mm-hmm. who have lived in one place all their life, which, yes, feels like a foreign concept to mm-hmm. us. But, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, we are all people, so we will have some shared experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So thinking more about the benefits, the positives of being a TCK, and not discounting the brutal experiences, the difficult stuff that we've been through, what would you mm-hmm. say is one of the best things about being a TCK?
Well, I have two answers to that. Sure. The first one is a broader worldview and just being able to see people as people and understanding that there is some sort of connection that we all can share if we're willing to pay attention to it. And I think growing up as a TCK, it has given me that ability to appreciate all different types of people, no matter where you come from. So I think that's a huge one for me. I really appreciate that open-mindedness and the broader worldview that I was able to learn due to that upbringing. And then the other one is I have so many people all over the world that I could just go to in a heartbeat. And I think that's awesome. I was talking to one of my other TCK friends that I met at camp this year, and I was asking him, you know, where would you want to go? And he was like, New Zealand. And I was like, cool, I got some people over there if we ever want to go, or if we wanted to go somewhere else. Like, I have people on almost every single continent that I could hop over to if I wanted to. Not every country by any means, but at least every continent.
Sure.
So I think that's really cool that I get to have those connections. And then since meeting TCKs, it's just broadened even farther that there is that ability to have those connections. So I think just being able to have people all over the world, even though sometimes it's like, well, I wish my people were here with me, but it's also still really cool that they're everywhere. And if I wanted to, I could hop over and see them at any moment.
That's a beautiful thing. It's I have to say I'm grateful for technology that allows mm-hmm. us to maintain those friendships with people around the globe, and also mm-hmm. to have conversations like this where I'm able to see you, although mm-hmm. for the podcast, of course, our audience will just listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Summer, these episodes always fly by. The time just whizzes by. It's been super interesting to hear a little bit about you and your story. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you so much for being my guest today.
Absolutely. It was an honor. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to People Like Us. If you'd like to join an online community full of people like us, hop over to Facebook and search for People Like Us. You'll find my group, and you're very welcome to join us.